ready to wiggle. We've been ready for so long. Get ready to wiggle. When you wiggle, you can't go wrong. Get ready to wiggle. Wiggle will make you big and strong. Get ready to wiggle. Come on, wiggle to this song.
Hey, hey again, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the new and improved sound quality of free speech, because this is Monday. Mark Collett will be with me, and in his honor, I am breaking out a good, high-quality microphone instead of recording on my cell phone or perhaps into a cheap sound recorder, voice recorder, while riding a bicycle. I will go back to my old ways tomorrow, but for today, it's the high-quality stuff. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Operators are standing by. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hello. It's good to be here. And since we last spoke, the potentially real president, Trump, has been found guilty of an entire raft of offenses. But this is the sort of thing that political dissidents face, and this has long been the case in certain non-Anglosphere nations, in countries like Germany, which have been very, very harsh towards people who have said things, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that might bear similarities to things said during the Third Reich, etc. So, you know, very, very interesting that this kind of political repression is sweeping in here, but more interesting, I feel, that it's being used against somebody who is of such high profile. So it's one thing using it against, a political activist who doesn't have millions of pounds, who hasn't previously been the president. But it's another thing altogether, you know, doing this against not only a former sitting president, but the main, the Republicans' presidential candidate for this year's presidential election. One thing I am interested in is how are the Republicans taking this? I take it that the people who have acted against Trump in this way are, you know, Democrats. How are the Republican Party taking this? I mean, I know that the mainstream Republican Party has never had the best relationship with Trump, but are they sticking by him? Are they going for him? How are they taking this?
Yeah, I mean, it is causing the Republicans to unite, frankly. 8 years ago, almost 8 years ago, just before, I guess it was at the beginning of October, a month before the election, some media outlet had released tape. I guess was it just audio or was it video and audio? But Trump was. I guess he was in a dressing room or lounge or something associated with some TV interview. And he was talking to the host, who his name was Billy Bush. He's actually a cousin, some sort of cousin of the George W. Bush, some cousin. And in the conversation, which was it was a candid conversation, but somebody taped it. That's where President Trump, well, he wasn't president yet, but he said, yeah, you know, it's great being a celebrity. You get all these women and, you know, women are falling all over you, and you can literally just grab them by the, you know, by the, well, we all know. And that got released, and the entire Republican establishment, which didn't like Trump in the first place, abandoned him. And you had dozens of Republican congressmen, including senators. It might have been, it was like maybe a quarter of the Congress or something, of the Republican delegation in the Congress, calling on Trump to withdraw from the race, which is extreme. That's extreme. And we've never had that in American history, where somebody just a presidential candidate just withdraws from the race like that a month before the election. So they were just abandoning him. Here, and of course, that was just some silly off the cuff statement from years gone by. Here you've got he's been indicted of 32 felons or something. So, I mean, it's all bull. It's and but still, there's every opportunity for the establishment Republicans who didn't like Trump to abandon him, but they're not. They're rallying around him. He raised a huge amount of money on that day that the verdicts came out. It's because in general, his base they are whipped up by this kind of thing. The Democratic base already hates Trump. It doesn't really matter. This really doesn't do a whole lot for them. They can go around and say, well, you know, he's a convicted felon, but they've been saying everything about him already. It's not causing him any problems. If anything, this is going to benefit him. It benefited him when he had his mugshot taken, when he was actually placed under arrest and had a mugshot taken some months ago. That mugshot is used widely. He looks kind of pissed off in it, and it's helpful for him. So yeah, this isn't hurting him at all. If anything, it's backfiring. I don't know. One thing before I kick it back to you that I've been building up is in the middle of June, there's going to be a Turning Point USA conference in Detroit. Trump will speak at it. All his vice presidential hopefuls will be there. Candace Owens will be there. She's been going off about the Jews. Will she challenge Trump on Gaza and Israel there? And in that same city, that same weekend, Nick Fuentes is having his conference. There will be a lot of people, the Nick Fuentes conference is America first and not Israel. They are it's very, very explicit. The Nick Fuentes people have a long history of challenging people at the Turning Point USA conferences, challenging them on Israel and Jewish power. And so there's big potential there. I'm just bringing that up. Trump will be there. Candace Owens may well call him out. Other people may well call him out. You know, Habib, with a long last name from Chechnya, the UFC champion, he saw Trump at a UFC event just a few days ago, and he said, you know, we got to stop the killing in Gaza, the Trump. So we'll see what happens, to what extent he's going to be challenged on things. So I kick it back to you, Mark.
Khabib Nurmagomedov. He's
Nurmagomedov. How long did it take you to memorize that?
Not very long. I mean, I've watched a little bit of UFC. I quite enjoy it. He's notable because he's ostensibly the greatest MMA fighter of all time in terms of his record, and you know, sensationally, he was the one to utterly humble Conor McGregor. So, you know, he is a guy that, you know, is very well known, and I'm pleased he's come out and said that. You know, he's definitely a phenomenal fighter, and he's somebody that sort of shook up, I would say, the MMA scene, because he retired. Obviously everyone starts unbeaten, but he retired unbeaten after, I think, you know, I'm not going to say a record number of fights. I'd have to look into it, but it was a lengthy streak, which was, you know, topped off by him defeating Conor McGregor in quite spectacular style. So it wasn't like he was a guy that ever ducked any fights or avoided anything big. He was somebody that, you know, was definitely a fighting champion and proved himself time and again. So yeah, it's an influential voice and somebody who is very respected in his community. As for Trump, I mean, I'm happy that these people aren't going against him. I'm happy that they're not going against him and that people are sort of, you know, pulling in around him. But one thing I will say, and I don't want to be negative, you can always come over quite negative on things like this, and I don't want to be that negative guy. I don't want to be here saying, oh, you know, it's not that significant. But I think you've made a good point yourself, which is negative in a way, that a lot of the support for Trump now, is it actually support for Trump or is it naked self-interest? Because a lot of these elected Republicans probably would like anyone other than Trump, but they have to go in that direction because a sizable percentage of their support base are going to be Trump fans. And getting on board with that Trump train is probably the best thing they can do, because they don't want to alienate themselves from their support base or their donations. And they're probably looking in thinking, well, it is likely that Trump becomes president, and maybe they can benefit from that in some way. You know, I mean, it's interesting times and certainly an interesting shift. I would love to be able to say that the shift was an ideological one, that people were, you know, coming out, going for Trump on the basis that they have understood that we do need migration control and that we should be talking to some degree about the way policymaking affects whites. But I worry that that isn't the case, that, you know, a lot of this is naked opportunism and, you know, self-centered posturing. But it's still, you know, I suppose it's a step in the right direction. And I would be very interested to see, if they tried to jail him, what the Republican response would be centrally. You know, would this be called out widely as an attempt to interfere with an election? Because that's really what it is, isn't it? You know, and I personally find the whole thing quite odd, because I'm not even really, I don't know. I looked into these sort of like charges against him, but I didn't see anything really of any, you know, of actually any note. And also, I completely didn't even understand why he was in trouble over the Stormy Daniels thing. He simply paid her a personal sum of money not to speak about any experiences they had together. I'm not sure why that goes down as hiding election expenses, because I didn't really see it in that way. But I think there's been a lot of things twisted here. I think he's been tried in an unfair court. But really, the ramifications of this are, if they can do this to Donald Trump, who can't they do this to? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that Americans should be asking, because, you know, Trump is obviously a very powerful man. He's a former president, and he's also, you know, likely to be the next president. You know, if the vote was held now and everything went the way that, you know, the polls have it listed, he would be the president. Now, at that point, if you've got a position where, you know, he's being hauled up like this, where will they stop? Who will be able to beat this system? I think that's a very important question, and it should be something that everyone who is in any way involved in politics should be asking themselves at this point, because this isn't, you know, this is an issue of not just freedom of speech, but fundamental, you know, freedoms to be involved in the electoral process without interference from the state. And as soon as you're getting to this point, you might not actually be in an out and out sort of, you know, one party state communist regime, but you're certainly getting that way. And this certainly isn't the sort of, you know, American dream. This isn't the democracy that people were sold, quite the opposite. And I do think there are a number of positives in this. So I think it will help Trump. Not that he always deserves help. There are plenty of things he said and done that, you know, are not particularly great. But I think overall, for normal people, it's a step towards, you know, thinking outside the box. Now, on to the Nick Fuentes event that's coming up. That's going to be very interesting. You know, I wonder how many people are going to be attending. I should assume it will be in excess of 1,000, which would be pretty damn big. And I should imagine that there will be a number of people at that event, whether they are scheduled or whether they're surprise guests, who are closer and closer to the establishment and are certainly people that have a massive social media reach and sometimes political reach. Now, if Nick Fuentes keeps gaining traction like this, if he keeps gaining popularity in the way that he is, how do you see that moving forward? Because at some point, just like the Republican Party had to adapt to Trump, they're going to have to adapt to a genuine America First message, aren't they? You know, they can't keep ignoring that. They can't keep saying, well, you know, this is something we're just going to pretend isn't there. They are either going to have to go along with it to a certain degree, or they're going to have to try and co-opt it or subvert it in some way. And I don't believe that Nick Fuentes is going to be subverted. And I think Nick Fuentes isn't their only problem. They've now got problems like Candace Owens, as you said. You know, they've got problems of numerous people who have broken up off the reservation, who are talking about issue of Zionist power or Jewish influence. And all of these people are dragging the Republican Party in an interesting way. But that's mirrored in different ways, obviously, in the Democrats, because young Democrats are absolutely opposed to the state of Israel as well. And that leaves Israel or Zionists or AIPAC in a very, very interesting position. how do they move forward knowing that a sizable proportion of young voters, whether they be, you know, on the quote-unquote right or the quote-unquote left, are increasingly opposed to Israel and support for the state of Israel?
It's a massive crisis for them. So, it's young people. Nothing better indicates a person's position on Israel versus Palestine better than age. Age correlates better than anything. Unfortunately, the boomers and the people older than boomers polling data shows that they are overwhelmingly in support of Israel, whereas people under 30 are not. People under 30 are more likely to be, it's not as overwhelming, but they're more likely to be supportive of Palestine. But the types of people under 30 who would vote for Biden are pretty solidly sympathetic to Palestinians. So you get huge numbers of young people on the so-called left who are not sympathetic to Israel, and they are sympathetic to Palestine. That's a big problem. On the so-called right, amongst young people, you don't have the same in terms of numbers, because most people are kind of normies. Left-wing normies are just going along with their left-wing normie crowd, and the Palestine is just it's the thing for 2024, just like COVID masks were the thing for 2020, or BLM, or Ukraine was the thing for 2022. This is the new thing. It's kind of a trend, but it's a trend that they seem to care a fair amount about. The thing on the right is, I think the numbers of people who are against Israel is much, much smaller, but they come at it from a very different perspective, and a perspective that's even more dangerous, because it's one that's got, A, it's got racial awareness, B, it's probably much more Jewish aware, right? It's whereas on the left, these people can take kind of a Chomskyite view that Israel is just a proxy for American corporate power, that type of thing. Whereas on the right, it's much more likely to be explicitly about Jews. And you look at Candace Owens' Twitter feed, and she's not just going off about Israel and genocide. She is, but not just Israel and genocide. She's going off about the ADL having been formed to defend a Jewish murderer rapist named Leo Frank. I think all our audience knows what we're talking about. She's going off about the USS Liberty. She's going off about, she's a Christian, so even the Jewish role in the killing of Christ and all sorts of things. She's going off on things that the kids on college campus wouldn't. And she's got a huge audience, and she has, as opposed to the college kids on campus who aren't viewed particularly sympathetically by boomer Fox News viewers, the boomer Fox News viewers have been shown Candace Owens for the past 5, 6, 7 years as an example of somebody who you should support. And listening to Candace Owens and thinking well of Candace Owens helps prove that you're not racist. And that's very important to the boomers, is not being racist. They were totally not racist. So both the left, the young left, and the young right are big problems for Jewish power. And
fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy.
Yummy, 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 yummy fruit salad.
Let's make some fruit salad today.
Oh, oh, oh.
It's fun to do, it's a healthy way.
Oh, oh, oh.
Take all the fruit that you want to eat. It's going to be a fruit salad.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
We're on our way to Wiggle Bay.
Oh, I love that Wiggle Bay.
Just a few waves, and we'll be on our way. You'll see girls and trees.
Racist, totally not racist. So both the left, the young left and the young right are big problems for Jewish power. And they're not handling it well. And, you know, you've got Israel just doubling down, not just on both in terms of their actions and in terms of their rhetoric, which is over the top. In terms of genocidal intent. So you've got the, you know, genocidal deeds, and then you've got these Israeli politicians from Netanyahu on down making statements showing genocidal intent. So this is just a massive crisis. And if you only looked at the debate between, you know, Trump and Biden, the Democrat establishment, the Republican establishment, maybe it would seem like it's under control, but the young kids, they're not under control. And, of course, the rest of the world's not under control. And so I don't want to be a broken record, but it's a massive crisis. Back to you, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Or a massive awakening, whichever way you see it. I mean,
a crisis
for the power structure. I mean, my only thing I'll say is with those who are sort of quote-unquote left-leaning, they still do believe that this is a, you know, a white supremacist issue. That's the only unfortunate thing. So you do see people on the left, and they will call Israel a, you know, a white supremacist outpost in the Middle East, which obviously we know it's not. But they are still opposed to it. I mean, obviously, the only correct form of critique of Israel is our critique. That is the completely joined up critique. But the fact the left now are critiquing it, and the fact the left are starting to talk about certain, you know, power structures, etc., is very, very interesting. And, you know, it's obviously a good thing. But the Nick Fuentes America First event is going to be interesting, because who's going to turn up? Do you think Candace Owens will turn up to that? Do you think she will? Do you think she? Because I'll tell you what, that would be huge, wouldn't it? You know, at some point, you know, is Alex Jones going to turn up to that? You know, because again, if Alex, because I would say at the moment, one of the big news stories over the weekend was the feds literally moving against Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about that is this move against Jones seems to completely coincide with Jones reaching out more and more to people like Nick Fuentes, and the issue of, you know, Jewish power and control being brought up more and more in InfoWars. You know, InfoWars used to be, you know, steadfastly a place where I would consider, you know, conspiracy theories to be churned out from, you know. So you would talk about things like, you know, oh, it's the Jesuits, it's this strange group. But he wouldn't ever say, well, it's the Zionists. He wouldn't make the link between, you know, damaging things such as pornography and the influence of the Jewish community. But he has started to entertain those ideas now, and he's got closer and closer with the likes of Nick Fuentes. He's had a number of people on his show who are ethno-nationalists. His audience seems to be becoming awake to that particular, or those particular issues. And once the genie's out of the bottle, it's very hard to get it back in again, isn't it? But now, the, you know, the federal government has moved against Alex Jones. And apparently, apparently at the weekend, they were trying to gain access to his studios to basically take them and foreclose upon them and stop any further broadcasts, essentially shutting down InfoWars. And I find that to be very interesting timing. Now, obviously, they never seemed to care too much about Alex Jones until he moved into real world politics, until he started supporting the likes of Donald Trump. You know, when he was just talking about, you know, the water turning the frogs gay, he wasn't a problem for anyone. When he started
Hey, are you supporting gay frogs?
Well, he was actually right about the gay frogs. And everyone laughed about him at the gay frogs, but he was right about the gay frogs. Obviously, the amount of estrogen being pumped into the water supply because of the amount of female contraceptive pills consumed is something that is a problem, and it has affected, you know, aquatic life all over the Western world where these fertility pills are sold. Now, that is interesting, and he was right about some things, but he was also wrong about others. But of late, he has been, you know, transferring his power base from just being, you know, conspiracy peddlers to being people who have spoken about things and advocated for real world change. And that has coincided with a massive clampdown upon Alex Jones. You know, when he was just talking about his conspiracies, I think people left him alone. You know, and there are these conspiracy peddlers that are just completely left alone. But once you start supporting some kind of political activity, some kind of real world solution, which he did through Trump, it seemed like the eye of Sauron absolutely zeroed in on the guy, and they have been trying to dismantle his media empire ever since. And now, with him getting closer and closer to the likes of Nick Fuentes and talking more and more and more about issues to do with Zionist or Jewish power, hot potato. It seems the eye of Sauron wasn't...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Chug a big red car. We'll travel near and we'll travel far. Toot, toot, chug a big red car. We're gonna ride the whole day long.
We've been getting closer and closer to the likes of Nick Fuentes and talking more and more and more about issues to do with Zionist or Jewish power. It seems the Eye of Sauron wasn't enough, and now the orcs are at the gates attempting to tear down everything he's ever built and worked for, which I think is very telling. And the fact this is being done by, you know, the federal government is, again, another thing that's very worrying. So across the board, you are seeing, obviously, on one hand, this increased awareness of Jewish or Zionist power. And on the other hand, you are seeing an absolute clampdown upon people who are starting to entertain that or talk about that or throw a spanner in the works for the system in any way. And I find this absolutely fascinating. I don't know what the future for InfoWars is, and I'm pretty sure InfoWars or Alex Jones will continue in some form or another. But I don't know whether you've heard about this or the developments that were taking place at the weekend. But yeah. I do find it, you know, frightening. And it's not just frightening. Look, not, you know, I know that you work with RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, etc. And this isn't to pour shade on RBN, but obviously InfoWars is a lot bigger than RBN. Now, you know, InfoWars is massive. But it is frightening for groups like RBN because they may well come down the ladder. So once InfoWars has gone, it's a lot easier to come after the smaller guys, isn't it?
Well, yeah. So you know, you were talking specifically about Alex Jones and whether or not he might show up at Nick Fuentes' conference. And I heard Nick's program from Friday. I don't listen to his show that time to time. I thought it was an excellent show on Friday. And one of the things he said that he had this, he recorded this on or did it live on Friday night, which probably means early Saturday morning because he does weird hours. But he said that he was going to be appearing on, he had been invited by Alex Jones to come on InfoWars for Saturday. I think it was for Saturday. So I guess he was on his show over the weekend. He was planning on being on it. He'd been invited on it over the weekend. So they have, you know, they have this connection. You asked about Candace Owens perhaps showing up at his event, which is just same city, same weekend as the Turning Point USA event that she will. She's been associated with Turning Point USA for many years because she was a kind of a safe, young, conservative influencer. I don't like the term influencer, but I'm starting to use it. But now, of course, she's gone past just what's acceptable Turning Point USA kind of conservatism. But they still invited her, and maybe this is the last time they'll invite her. But they invited her, and she'll be there. She and Nick Fuentes, I don't think they have a particular any real direct relationship. But recall that Candace Owens, like the whole Kanye West controversy from a couple years ago, it started with Candace Owens going to a fashion show with Kanye West, and the two of them were wearing White Lives Matter sweatshirts, and within a month or so of that. So she's got this relationship with Kanye West. With or so of that, Kanye West was on InfoWars with Nick Fuentes talking about Jewish power, and so you know they're at most a degree removed. Candace Owens has been Christ is King. I'm not saying Nick Fuentes started Christ is King, but he helped popularize it amongst the youth, and she's been saying Christ is King frequently at the end of her tweets and whatnot. I wouldn't be that surprised if she did turn up at Nick Fuentes' conference, which is called AFPAC, America First Political Action Committee, or something like that. The other possibility is the Turning Point USA conference is a big conference, and they've got a couple dozen people, well-known people, who are going to be speaking there. So you have speakers in the main hall. But at these conferences, you also get things like workshops in side rooms. And one of the things that Nick Fuentes' followers have been infamous for, is going to question and answer sessions held by people like Donald Trump Jr. Or Charlie Kirk or others. And, you know, there'll be some sort of workshop, and then it allows for questions from the audience. And so the Groypers, they will go up to the mic, and then, you know, they wait their turn, they get their turn, and then they'll start talking about the USS Liberty or American support for Israel. You know, it could be now, it would be for Israeli genocide. They will be pushing, and this was called groiping, and it's referred to as the Groiper Wars, but it really put these people on the spot and created a lot of viral content for social media. And so I have the feeling that this weekend in Detroit is going to maybe I'm completely wrong, but it looks like it may produce all sorts of viral content. It may produce it may have Trump being directly called out on the Israeli genocide and kind of pushed into clarifying. Well, I mean, I guess he's clarified his position, but maybe re-clarifying it or reconsidering his position. So those are the things that I'm looking at.
Well, hopefully it will be something big, and hopefully the likes of Candace Owens or somebody else who's very well known in that sort of conservative sphere will decide to show their face, because the more people that do, the more it's going to lend legitimacy to what Nick's doing. And Nick's already broken into, you know, the Alex Jones crowd. He's broke ground in other ways. And depending on who turns up at this, we could see, you know, another wave of support for him. Now, I'm not sure what his aspirations are, or whether his aspirations are directly political, or whether they are to build some kind of community, or just to keep spreading the word and to spread influence, or eventually to back candidates, or for him to be a candidate himself. I mean, I'm sure if he was going to back candidates, they would be people, you know, within the Republican sphere. But I do think it's certainly seems to be gathering a pace, and it will be something that no doubt the establishment is worried about. I'm also very shocked that he's managed to even get somewhere that will openly hold or host an event of that size, because considering what he's doing, it does seem odd that the establishment is even letting him, you know, host such an event. I mean, I know in the UK, if you tried to do something like this, you would literally be shut down with that many people. Once you get over a couple of hundred people, it's very difficult in the UK to get any form of venue without being, you know, politically stifled.
Well, yeah, and there's been a history of that in the United States. I know when I was involved with Don Black and Stormfront, they had venues shut down on them immediately prior to hosting events and things like that. Jared Taylor's had the same types of problems. Richard Spencer had these problems. So, yeah, I'm sure David Duke had these problems as well. But they've got a. I'm not sure where the venue is. Maybe there's a certain amount of secrecy about the venue. I'm not sure, because I'm personally not going. But he's pulled it off before. It looks like he'll be pulling it off, and it's Detroit the same weekend, and there will be plenty of people there. So there's a lot of potential. While we still have a little time,
I just wanted to ask you one other thing about. Yeah. This event, with it being in Detroit, and you know, from a British person's view of Detroit, isn't Detroit an extremely black city?
Yes.
Would you say there'd be any chance for counter protests, Antifa, BLM? Is that the kind of thing that you have outside these kind of events? You know, would you say that is something that, you know, could effectively happen? I mean, I don't know. Like in the UK, you actually usually. Even for, so there's a big history of protesting outside conferences from the left, and they even do this to the Conservative Party conference. So the Conservative Party, as people will know, they're still the party of governance for the time being. You know, they make up the government, but you know, the left do go and protest outside their conferences and try to disrupt them in any way they can, heckle attendees, often even heckle MPs, which obviously if we were to heckle MPs, there would be serious repercussions. And there has been serious repercussions for nationalists who have done this. The left usually get away with it. But it just surprises me that in such a black city, something like that would be possible. Now, I obviously don't know Detroit in the sense I've never been there. I know the history of Detroit. I know it used to be Motor City, and I know it used to be an absolutely beautiful city. I've seen, you know, historic photos of it. So I'm not saying it's always been a bad place, but it is known to be a place that was heavily into decline, became heavily multicultural, you know, heavily African-American. And you now see these homes, which we at one point, I mean, the homes look absolutely massive, these beautiful old sort of white wooden houses that at one time, you know, looked like they would have been magnificent, the kind of places you can imagine a landowner of a plantation living in or something like that. And then you see them just in total disrepair and being used as kind of drug dens. And that's probably the average view of Detroit from a politically minded, you know, British person. So I don't know whether you want to add something to that or say that's not how it is, but that seems like a, you know, like one hell of a place to decide to hold a nationalist conference. That's all.
Well, so it's very interesting. Detroit is now, it's probably the blackest city in America. It is the most rundown city in America, I'm sure. I've only been there once. I went there for a Wiggles concert, and then after the show, I was hanging out with the Wiggles, as I'm prone to do. And a lot of cities in the Rust Belt, Chicago or Buffalo or Cleveland, have neighborhoods that have all these vacant houses, abandoned houses. Abandoned houses are very common in the Rust Belt, in the black neighborhoods. In Detroit, you have abandoned high-rises 30-story buildings that have that are just all broken out windows, which I've never seen anywhere else. And Detroit, I just pulled up some data. In 1950, it had a population of 1.85 million. The current estimate is 663,000. So they've lost almost two-thirds of their population from the peak. And in terms of, well, let's see, in 1950, it was 83% white. In 2010, it was 10% white. Now, it's, I guess it's 14% white now. There's been a bit of a white increase. I don't know if that's just because there are neighborhoods that are completely probably devoid of all population, including black. Maybe they're getting repopulated by young whites who do the gentrification.
But they also often call Hispanics whites.
I was trying to check on that, but the non-Hispanic white population went from 7.8% in 2010 to up to 11%. So there was like an increase in the non-Hispanic, but it's only
maybe gentrification, like you say.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably gentrification, because if you've lost two-thirds of the population, you've got massive. You've got neighborhoods that are probably just devoid of people, and you know, these houses that were built in the mid 20th century. Anytime before 1960, these are solidly built houses. Now, if they've been infested with termites or rats or wood rot or things like that, then maybe they can't be salvaged. But a lot of them are large and beautiful. Just need a ton of work. But there are people who are willing to do that. So, yeah, it's an odd place.
You have that in the UK, actually. You have certain areas in the UK where what they've started doing is paying people to move to an area. You have to buy the house, but you have to prove that you're actually going to live in it yourself and that you're going to do something good for the area. So the government will sell you a property for maybe a pound. That was the issue. They were giving away properties for a pound, but you had to prove that you had so much money in the bank when you bought the property and that you were willing at that point to do something for the property. So, you bought the house for a pound, but then you had to have, a minimum of 60,000 in the bank, and you had to sign an agreement that you were going to live in that house for a minimum of 10 years and do it up while living there. And that allowed areas that were fallen into disrepair to basically attract sort of a lower middle class kind of tenant that wasn't going to be somebody who was going to use it as a drug den, wasn't going to be somebody who was going to trash the place, but they were going to try and rejuvenate the area by giving people this kind of once in a lifetime opportunity to own a nice house or own a nice structure and then turn it into a nice home. I don't know whether anything like that's happened in America, but it's a scheme that has been trialed here to rejuvenate sort of lower class sort of areas that have fallen into drugs, crime, and prostitution.
There is a certain amount of urban homesteading, is what it's called. It's not on a national basis, but I do recall when I was a little bit more interested in, the urban affairs that this was something that's has been tried. But just getting back to your original question of the issue of whether these conferences could be besieged by BLM, I think compared to a lot of cities, Detroit, because it is the most decrepit, that you're probably less likely to get some sort of black organization there. You're not going to get, I have the feeling that compared to Portland or Seattle or San Francisco or Chicago or a lot of places where you have you would have some sort of Jewish infrastructure there, Detroit you don't. I mean, Detroit's just pretty much abandoned, and the odds of organizing some sort of protest. I remember in another time that I was hanging out with the Wiggles It was in Washington, D.C. And Anthony Wiggle and I were walking over to a department store to get him some socks. And there were the black Israelites, the same people that had accosted Nick Sandman some years ago. And they were, you know, they were demonstrating. I think it was a Jared Taylor conference. It was either Jared Taylor or could have been Richard Spencer. And they were out front of that. But it could happen in Detroit, but I doubt it. So that's my answer to that.
Captain Feathersaw fell asleep on his pirate ship. Then he woke up on a farm.
Oh, my goodness me!
With roosters and ducks singing this song.
Quack, 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 cock-a-doodle-doo. Quack, 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 cock-a-doodle-doo. Quack, 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 doodly-doo.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
A Jared Taylor conference. It was either Jared Taylor or could have been Richard Spencer, and they were out front of that. But it could happen in Detroit, but I doubt it. So that's my answer to that. But we are starting to run out of time. Any update you want to provide about Sam Melia before we close it down?
Well, I did a big update on that on Friday, and it's pretty grim news. Sam has been barred from seeing his children. He got moved to a lower security prison, but that prison then invoked some very strange ruling that hasn't been invoked on him for the rest of his sentence, whereby he's now barred from seeing his children to the point where his wife isn't even allowed to mention his children's well-being to them on the phone. So if one of his children got taken to hospital and his wife wanted to say, look, you know, Catherine's in hospital, we've got a bit of a problem here, she would have to ask the permission of the prison before she relayed any information about his children to him. And this is unprecedented. It's a new level of sort of tyranny. But I did an entire stream about this on my channels, on with Laura, his wife, on Friday evening, explaining how out of nowhere they are trying to invoke very strange rulings, which seem to have the sole intention of breaking Sam's will and basically pushing him to snapping point, because he was getting on pretty well in prison. He'd made lots of friends. He'd got a job in there. He'd been moved to what was called enhanced status, which in the UK means that you have a job, you get privileges in your cell, such as either a games console or a sound system or something like that. He'd got all of this, and he'd actually got the best job on the wing doing the laundry. Everyone liked him. They moved him to another prison, which was a prison that's actually lower security. So he was in a category AB. He got moved to a category BC, and as soon as he got to the BC, whoever's in charge of that prison has actually used their power to try and inconvenience him as much as they can. So he's gone from having a very good 3 months in Leeds prison to a very poor start in Hull prison. And we have arranged a letter writing campaign, and we're trying to raise as much awareness of this as we can, in order to ensure that people are aware of this level of political persecution and the fact that people are being sent to jail for very, very questionable offences.
His questionable offence was producing stickers that say it's okay to be white, or it's,
yeah,
or...
yeah, that's the one. So when it comes down to it, he is now being punished in a very, very bizarre, unfair and unduly cruel manner, and in ways that actually breach the human rights legislation.
It wasn't as if an actual crime had taken place, but he had racist intent in doing what he was doing.
Yeah, the police admitted that the stickers that he put up and designed were completely lawful. The slogans on those stickers were lawful. When it came down to it, they were lawful. So it wasn't a matter that he'd actually committed a crime or an offence. The issue was his mindset when he produced those stickers, and they contended that he was motivated by racial hatred. And thus, even though the stickers were legal, he intended them to stir people up to racial hatred.
Well, thank you for joining me, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me on. Follow me on BitChute, follow me on Telegram, Gab, Odyssey and Rumble and all those other good places. And I'll see you same time next week.
Thank you very much. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, residents of the planet Rockstar, please welcome on stage King Mondo, the Wiggles, and Captain Feathersword.
Now listen!
We're listening!
Oh, we're stepping out! Gonna turn you around!
Turn around, everybody!
Gonna turn you around once and we'll do the Eagle Rock. Give me a sign. Just gotta give me a sign. I'm going to the Eagle Rock. Come on.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.